Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Good evening and welcome to the show. It's been such a curious day here in Colorado. The fog came in early in the morning and it made such beautiful rays of light coming out of the clouds. You know, where you can actually see the rays of light. And with the sun right over Denver, it was really a very beautiful view. We live on such a beautiful planet that when you take the time to notice the exquisite eloquence of nature, it can touch you at a very deep level. You know, I'm really excited for the future of humanity because we're going to embody heaven on earth. We're going to bring heaven all the way into the embodiment within our own physical bodies in mass on this planet. And I think that what makes that so exciting, because, you know, if you go outside at night and you look up in the sky and there's just, you know, just shy of 100 quintillion galaxies, there's got to be a majority of those that are in unconditional love now, in heaven on their own planet now. But this planet hasn't experienced that in mass. And so we get to watch it. We get to watch it show up in ourselves and in others as more and more people on the planet can embody unconditional love. I like what Ernest Holmes said. He said, "Your relationship with God is your relationship with humanity." And I live in Boulder, Colorado, and it has such a curious mix of people here, and I'm very delighted for that because I see many different faces of humanity. There's a very international component to the people that live here, and it affords me a glimpse of what people are like outside of the city I live in. And I always appreciate having a deeper understanding of our human nature. But as more and more of us can bring the light of heaven all the way through our persona into our bodies to embody that unconditional love that is held within us, within all of us, as more and more people do that, from that place of love is the inspiration of such joy, really. For myself, the peace of knowing who you are, the exquisite, thick as mud peace within your own being, it's so prominent when you can wrap your noggin around the truth of who you are and your mind settles down and starts to trust and your heart opens up and expands. And when those two, when your mind can be at ease and still and at peace and your heart is open and compassionate, always, always wonderful things happen. And it's like we're watching a movie, and we're right before the delivery of this tremendous change of compassion and love on this planet. You know, our guest tonight, Stephen Sadler, is walking that path too. We were talking a little bit before the show, and the idea of humanity being pregnant with this unconditional love and ready to give birth, I think gave us both a smile. I want to bring him on the show right now, and he started the Self Awareness Institute, and it's pretty easy to tell his heart's open for humanity. Stephen, welcome to the show.
It's good to be back, Les. God bless you.
So here we are talking, sharing this time together, and we're both kind of in love with love. Can you share with us just a little idea of what brought you to this journey of yours?
Well, it happened very early. I've been meditating from as early an age as I can remember. My mother said I would sit cross-legged on my bunk bed as a child on my own. And my grandmother was instrumental in introducing me to Jesus and the Bible, and that really got me thinking, particularly when she started going to different churches, and I would get different perspectives of God. And at 16, that sent me off on a mission. I was called. I climbed to the top of a mountain and prayed to God and got a vision and a calling to write about every religion in the world and write a book about it. And I did. It took 20 years and 7 trips around the world, going schlepping through the Himalayas and the backwoods of Borneo and from every denomination of every church, of every major religion, and hundreds of ashrams and gurus all over the world. And I finally wrote, it's called Looking for God, A Spiritual Seeker's Guide to Religion's Paths of the World. And it became a bestseller, and that kind of put me on my path, you know, 20 years of seeking, studying with so many different gurus, learning all these different paths of yoga and meditation, seeking enlightenment. And one teacher in particular, the Maharishi, Vetatirya Maharishi, trained me to become a Kundalini master. And later, Shiva Balayogi Maharaj basically guided me through yoga tapas, where I was sitting 23 hours a day, day in and day out, for weeks at a time. And that kind of supercharged my body. You know, you said earlier that we're in this mass awakening. You know, we're talking about heaven on earth, and that we all know intuitively and learn from the Bible that the kingdom of heaven lies within us. So the whole key for me, Les, is learning how to connect with that light within you that you already are, that spark of divinity, because the source of light lies within us. So that's what I'm devoting my time to teaching now, is, you know, how do you, it's not so much a religion or a philosophy, or, you know, we're just connecting to source. There's a spark in you, we call it spirit, or if you prefer, the force, but whatever that is making your heart beat. What I found most helpful is learning how to dial in on that, and that's where the Maharishi and the Maharaj really gave me some powerful tools. And one of them is simply to recognize the light within yourself, to recognize that there's more to you than a body and mind, which is obvious to you and probably most of the listeners. But the question is, well, how do you dial in on that? How do you stay connected with that? How do you stay plugged in? So I use energy. We call it Shaktipat in the East. In the West, we might just call it spirit. You know, it's just reaching out and connecting in spirit. Because the same thing making my heartbeat makes your heartbeat and everyone's heartbeat. You know, we're all connected to the same source, but we're not all consciously connected to source. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's more innate, I mean, or intuitive, but it's not always registering in the midst of our daily activity. So what Self Awareness Institute does, and what my training really focuses on, is helping people connect with the spirit that they are and to find that kingdom of heaven that lies within us. And once we find it within us, we're creating the critical mass, as you were saying earlier in the show, that is shifting the collective consciousness of humanity, bringing light into the world and creating heaven on earth. Because the kingdom of heaven lies within. You know, Christ was showing us the way to find the kingdom of heaven that lies within us. That's in my book, Christ Enlightened, The Lost Teachings of Jesus. I talk about the Gnostic Gospels and how Christ was a part of an Essene sect of Jews. It's so clear when you go back to look at the Qumran and the Dead Sea Scrolls, and then you see the relationship with the Kabbalah and the Zohar and what Christ was teaching. You're going, all the baptisms, all the I am the way, the languaging was all Essenes. And what's the message? The message was kind of lost until recently. It wasn't about sin and guilt and shame and going down to some fiery pit in the earth or some floaty place up in heaven. It was about realizing that God never left, that heaven is on earth. You know, and we're here to play like children in the garden, like you and I were saying, Les. You know, there's it's joy. It's great. I think in the Christian context, it's grace, and in the Hindu context, it's enlightenment. In Buddhist, it's nirvana. It's where we live in this blissful awareness of God's presence, and that continually unfolds. It's like an ocean that never ends. And so even as the guests are listening to the call, I want to invite them to feel the energy in their body and feel their spirit. And let Les and I reach out to you in spirit as spirit, so we can create like a spiritual vortex. By the way, we're going to do a vortex this Saturday. You guys are all invited. I get people that call in from all over the world, and we all meditate together on Shaktipat, and they put their hands up, and we just get basically stoned over the phone. So that's going to be 9 o'clock on Saturday. Well, it'd be, let's see, you're an hour later. Nine in Pacific time. You can just go to selfawareness.com if you want to get the phone number. But how are you feeling right now, Les? Does this ring true for you?
Oh, sure. It's, you know, the exquisite love, the unbridled love of heaven that's always within us is so accepting of us, regardless of where we are, that it only to go into that place of joy of that genuine fulfillment of joy. You know, you talked about grace. I like the idea of grace as a wake. You know, like when
yeah.
a boat goes through a water, if it's not graceful, the water's turbulent. But like I have a canoe, and I like to sneak up behind ducks because I can be so quiet and graceful that I can come right up behind them. And they turn and look, and there's some scallywag in a canoe smiling at them. It's and that grace is there's no resistance. There's no impediment to it. Everything that inner chi flows, that inner light of heaven flows without any hesitation or resistance.
Exactly. I like to say the more open you are to receive, the more you receive. It's really, it's a matter of your attunement or awareness of its presence. It never goes away, but we may not always be engaged with it or present to its presence. And so much of the work that we do revolves around two kind of principles. One is actually dialing in like a radio on the transmission and learning how to use, kind of like Lucas would say, the force. Use the force. You know, there are these currents that run through us, as well as all around us, as well as more broadly speaking, in terms of the natural laws of the universe, and they're all intertwined. They're all part of the same matrix of consciousness unfolding. And so, as we learn to move with these energies within ourselves, we learn to, I would say, come into concert, or come into flow, or come into grace. Or allow spirit to guide us so there's not a friction in our life. It's a matter of becoming aware of what state you're in and allowing yourself to continually move into higher states. So part of that is by your mind's developing a conscious awareness of what state you're in and then consciously deciding to move into higher states and knowing how to do so. And the other part is just kind of like just energy. It's just feeling the buzz and learning how to move that energy, make it stronger and bring it up to higher, what Dr. Hawkins used to call calibrated levels of consciousness. And you can actually watch yourself and pace yourself develop into higher and higher states. It's pretty exciting. I mean, we live in one of the most exciting times. I mean, there is an awakening occurring within the collective consciousness of humanity. And so all the listeners, anybody on this call is here, because they are part of that, those early adopters, the first few, the critical mass, you know, that small but rapidly growing segment of the population that is waking up first. And then through each of the listeners' interactions with their friends and relatives and posts on eBay or Facebook, I should say, this helps bring the consciousness out to that next level. And that's what we're seeing right now is there's there's this radical awakening occurring within the collective consciousness of humanity. We're witnessing it in our lifetime, and we're also seeing a prophecy fulfilled, you know, both in terms of the biblical sense, in the Judaic sense of the Israel as a state, and the second coming of Christ's word through these Gnostic Gospels explaining the path to enlightenment by looking within ourselves now that the collective consciousness of humanity is awake. By the way, I've got a screenplay called The Christ Enlightenment that just got picked up, and it talks about this very thing. It introduces some of the writings in the Gnostic Gospels into the dialogue so Jesus speaks them. And it's really powerful because what's he saying in the Gospel of Thomas, the Book of Thomas, the Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of Philip, all these books that actually date back to the first century. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Thomas, you must look within yourself. You must come to know who you are and why you were born. In the Gospel of Thomas again, the apostles, have you read it? It's great. The apostles asked Jesus, Lord, when will the kingdom come? Because he's always talking about the kingdom has come, or it will come imminently. You know, it's not like someday in the future. It's imminent in his thinking. Matter of fact, some of them are in the kingdom. And he says, so what he says to his apostles is very telling. Whether you're a Christian or not, it's some of the most powerful spiritual philosophy I've ever read. He says, it will not come. He's talking about the kingdom, right? It will not come by waiting for it. You cannot say that it is over here or that it is over there. For the kingdom of the Father is spread out before man, but he sees it not. Those that have eyes, let them see. So it will not come by waiting for it. You cannot say that it is over here or over there. What's he saying? It's in the here and now. Heaven isn't something that comes one day. It comes when you awaken to it, when you realize heaven on earth. You cannot say it's over here or over there because it's right here. And he makes it even clearer in the next sentence. For it is spread out before man, but he sees it not. It's right here on earth. The kingdom of heaven is awaiting those who come to the realization of God right here on earth while they're in their body. Now, what does that mean? It means their brain and its idea of who we think we are and all its programming and all of its wants, desires, and attachments are keeping the spirit confined in a false self-identity. And when we awaken to the reality of our true self as spiritual beings, we also awaken into a spiritual living, a spiritual awareness. We see God in everything, everywhere, all the time. It's like you said, it's like mud. There's this thick love. It's like, I like to call it the jacuzzi of consciousness. You know, we live in this, or Swamiji would say, I'm floating in fullness. You know, love is, God is here right now. We don't have to wait for it. We just have to wake up and realize it. What are you going to say, Les? I heard you.
We're in a sea of it.
It's
the fabric of everything. There's no escaping it.
It's love. With every breath we take, it's an act of love. With every beat of our heart, it's an act of love. So I look at love, God's expression of love is what we call spirit, right? I mean, when you look at a nursing mother, yes, there's colostrum and milk, but it's the love moving through that connects. It's the spirit. It's the spiritual connection when we make love or we have a buddy or even us on the call just sharing as brothers and sisters. It's love. And it's, like you said, it's us realizing we don't have to look outside ourselves to find this love. It's right here within us waiting for us to notice. We're just so preoccupied without. It's almost like in our effort to go out and try and find it, we're not paying attention to what's here right now just waiting for us to notice.
We're leaving it to go find it.
Yeah. There's a great yogi in India named Papaji, and he used to say, how far from your house do you have to go to find your way home? That's brilliant.
You know, I like that.
We're right here. We couldn't be anything other than that which we already are. We have only two. But the problem is, Les, that most people don't realize that the idea of who they are is really just a mentally created idea that doesn't fully address or define the true nature of ourself. It just points out what kind of habits and programming we've been given during our earthly lifetime. And that's really dependent on where we were born and what we were told. But what we are innately is the spirit. And a lot of people's brains haven't come to the full realization of what that means. And I say spirit in the sense of the expression of consciousness, you know, just to give it a name, this kind of a connecting place. We can all identify with the very life force within it, because without it, we'd be dead. So that what causes life within us is us. So a big part of our Shaktipat training and the work I do is really learning to develop and connect and understand this life force or spiritual aspect of our nature. And then we can bring it out through what we think and say and do. And that's when our life really changes, when we really begin to live it and feel it and bring it out into the world, because that's really why we're here. We're here to bring it into the world through what we think and say and do, so we can share it with everyone we see, everywhere we go, all the time, every day. And that's how we create the kingdom of heaven on earth. We do it. We do it by enlightening and living it and bringing it out into the world and sharing it with others.
It was always intended to go through the human experience. I mean, the
exactly.
Love was there before the human, and the human was created as an experience, a personification of that love. And
exactly.
You know, when you connect with that ocean of love, I mean, within you, it has such a gift for you, because and it is you, so you have a gift for you.
Right.
That
it has
streams,
yet to be realized, or we're realizing it even now, really.
That streams to you,
yeah,
a vision, an idea of you, the human being, fulfilling this always compatible, always delightful vision of what your life can be. And when you can capture, when you can be in that space of love and resonate with it, it creates a portal of expression through you as you. And, you know, so often the ego tries to figure crap out by manipulating all this external people and situations and conditions, trying to find a sweet spot where everything, quote, works, unquote. And when you go inside, it's like pulling the steering wheel off the car and handing it up to your soul and saying, hey, you know, I'm tired of driving. I suck at it. Why don't you take over? And it's your own inner inspiration that has an infinite story to tell you through you as you. And when you dial into that and allow that inspiration to show up in such a graceful way in your everyday life, we go back to that idea of grace and ease. I think it's very elegant.
Yes. Well, the beautiful thing is what we seek is already here within us. And so it's really a matter of tuning in, isn't it? Like, I mean, there's something here causing our heartbeat. There's something compelling me to speak and then you to speak and maybe later some of the other audience. But all of us are here because Spirit is guiding us. And so we live in an age, and it's exciting to think about. You know about the procession of the equinox and the
yeah.
coming of Aquarian Age and the from the
Kali
Yuga to the Krita or Satya Yuga, the turning of the wheel of the Bodhi Dharma. And probably the most exciting from within the Kabbalah itself, which explains the biblical meaning of both the Tree of Life and Zion. What does it mean? You know, if we get this idea of heaven on earth, we get it from the Bible. And I think the best person that explained it biblically was Dr. Rabbi Philip S. Berg, who is head of the Research Center for Kabbalah. And I took a class with him. I remember asking him this question, you know, why are we here? And he said it so lucidly. He said, it's right in the tree of life, Stephen. We come in as spirit, and because we cannot take in all the light, we take it in by degrees. So we come into this world in ignorance of our own nature, but through our life experiences, like you were saying, Les, we learn, grow, and evolve. Our spirit matures. Our realization grows. Our light grows until it gets up to the seventh tier. So we go from Malkut to Keter, which is the top, the crown. It represents the fool, if you look at the arcana symbols. And it's above power and beauty and glory. It's the state of enlightenment. So he said in his own words, and it says actually in the Gnostic Gospels, that the purpose of our existence is to come into the the knowledge or the enlightenment of the true nature of ourself, to come in to the realization of ourself as these spiritual beings or sparks of divinity. And as we do that, all our lights will begin to light up everyone else. And when we are all alighted or enlightened, we create the kingdom of heaven on earth. And so it is. We're just entering into that period right now. And that's why we have conversations like this. People are getting ready. It's happening
sure.
now.
And as those that discover it within themselves, as every single person makes that rise in their consciousness into the heaven within them, it makes the human consciousness able to do it that much easier because of the holographic nature of consciousness. As more and more people find the light within them, the process of finding the light becomes more familiar with humanity collectively. So I think it's going to hit this critical mass and go like a firestorm.
Yeah, it's happening. And I'm just amazed, just like with all the stuff that's going on right now, which is the evidence, you know, the TV show, the movie, all these things that are coming about are the signs that people are ready. Matter of fact, do you want to play a game? We were talking about how fun it should be and being playful.
Sure.
I have an idea. You want to play a game?
You betcha. I'm game.
Okay. I'd like to invite everybody, all of us and everyone listening, to first, just as you're, wherever you're sitting, put your hands up. So hopefully you're not driving. Don't put your hands up if you're driving. But if you're sitting at home, or pull off the road if you have a minute. And we just maybe say a prayer, whatever way you would pray. Lord, how may I be a vehicle for your love and light and wisdom. Something to this effect, where we're opening ourselves to be a vehicle. Perhaps for our own indwelling spirit to shine forth and guide us. And then bring your hand up and bend your elbows. You've probably done this before where you felt the energy between your hands. I want everyone to bring your palms flat and start bringing them together till they're just a few inches apart. And wave your hands so you can tune into the electromagnetic fields. So, of course, first your blood moves out of your hand, and there's ambient heat being generated in your body. So there's several different sensations that can be felt. But we're specifically trying to feel the electromagnetic field. This has already been tested by science. There's no question that we have this biomagnetism or auric energy, but most of us don't kind of feel it normally day to day. So once you get a sense of that, I suppose everybody has by now. Go ahead and bring your hands back up in the air and turn your palms outward so we can make our hands like little satellite dishes that can pick up a transmission. So this is what I do less in my classes. My students are in 120 countries. We get on, we're going to get on a call this Saturday, and everybody, whether they're in Africa or Australia or Europe or whatever continent, they put up their hands, and they're all going to connect with energy, because spirit transcends the time-space continuum. So go ahead and bring your hands up in the air, everyone, and just observe the sensation in the palm of your hands. So just like a dish picks up a satellite transmission, your body can start picking up a signal. Well, just like a cell phone, for that matter. Some people call in on a cell phone to your show, or as I'm calling in, we use a cell technology. But similarly, Shaktipat transmits over the air. And this is what's been so exciting about our work, because not everybody can just, you know, kind of schlep over to Southern California to say hi to Steve, but you can all dial in on a phone call and get high just by connecting with this surge or exchange of spiritual energy that we can create, kind of a love vortex, Les. So everyone breathe in and imagine, feel the energy in your hands. And maybe imagine it like mittens of light. If you pat the air in front of you or move your hands from side to side or kind of make little circles, you'll start to feel like a radiant energy, a vibration, like a tuning fork vibrating. So I'm just a conductor, and you guys are each an instrument, and I'm trying to lead us to some spiritual harmonies. That's the idea. So breathe in, and now draw that light, or just imagine it coming down your arms, through your elbows and shoulders, into your heart. And as you breathe out, just feel that light spreading out. And imagine your entire body enshrouded in a cocoon of golden white light. So we can use the imaging to help facilitate the exchange or movement of the energy. So we're all receivers and we're all transmitters. The spine's an antenna. And so what I want to do with you here and now is help you learn to connect, build up, because you're all connected. You don't need me to get connected, but I can, kind of like a trainer at the gym, okay, you've all got muscles, I'm going to work them. I want to work your spiritual muscles, so I want you to breathe in and draw that light in and let me help you. Just kind of suck it up like a sponge and fill your heart with love. Like we were saying, Les, it's through grace that we enlighten. So I just said, God, would you step into my life and take over? And as you breathe out, just feel that energy now spreading out of your body, like you're spreading your aura out, maybe 6 feet around you, and your entire body is enshrouded. And one more breath with your hands out, and absorb even more, and expand your heart even more. And now as you breathe out, let's turn our hands again, bend our elbows, and imagine we've got a bigger spread now between the hands, maybe like there's a big beach ball in front of our chest, and we've got a hand on each side of it. And so with the palms about 2 feet apart, slowly squeeze the beach ball. And what happens is, typically anyway, when we do this, is you'll feel the cushion between your hands got stronger. There's a little more energy. So by transmitting the energy and you picking it up and sending it back to, you know, through this confluence of energy, what we are doing is helping to grow it, to actually, you know, like turning the knob on the dimmer switch. So go ahead and, if you should all feel some kind of energy there, and then you can bring your hands down because your arms get tired. And if we just take one more breath in and kind of internalize the experience and realize that as I continue to talk to you now, you're dialed in. We've kind of like hit the preset button on the radio, like in your car, you know. So you've heard me, you've connected with me psychically, so to speak. And now whenever you want, if you just think about it, that energy will start coming to you. And so you don't necessarily have to be on a call, but it's always helpful if you do. Now, what happens when you do this is you sometimes get a little tingling or a little floaty or a little high or sometimes a light. If you close your eyes, sometimes you'll see a fluttering of lights or a blue light, that kind of thing. That typically means you're in a theta brainwave. And then when we do this, Les, and then we go into a third eye meditation, meaning we just close our eyes and put our attention between the eyebrows, what happens, we can engage our nervous system that way, and the Shakti moving through your nervous system just takes your mind into the field so you don't have to try to meditate. You know, most people try and beat their mind into submission with a mantra or a breath or some kind of forced effort. And what we found is, boy, if you just plug into the source of light within yourself, you just get stoned anyway. Your brain doesn't want to have to do anything else but be in that feeling, you know. And so you've got that feeling, Les. You know, you're a pretty enlightened guy, so But for a lot of people, you know, how do you get into that state? And what I found is the Shakti helps. So you can just kind of look within yourself to connect with the spirit that you are, and that in and of itself is helpful. But if people like, I would love to work with them and show them how to get there quick, kind of just by plugging in. And what happens, you acclimate to these higher states. You basically get used to being in higher states when you're around them enough. Does that make sense?
Sure. When you visit them often, they can actually become a choice. And when the life outside of you gets cantankerous or ornery, you can say, wait a minute, this is not the perspective I want to see this from. And you can make that choice, and when you go connect with that deeper authenticity, then what you're observing doesn't have that personal agitation to it.
Exactly. Well, that's a sign of becoming more conscious, too. You know, the more conscious we are of how conscious we are, the more we become conscious. And the more we become conscious, the less unconscious we are. So that's a good thing, as more people are kind of awakening and they're realizing, I have a choice what state of mind to be in. I choose to be conscious. So even that conversation, you know, we're hearing it on Oprah Winfrey, we're hearing it on, you know, through kind of mainstream media, And now through your program too, thank God for New Living, because you know this is how this information is getting out there. Kudos to your work, Les.
Hey, kudos to you too. Like we were saying earlier, we're both enjoy that field of compassion in our hearts, and once you start saying yes to it, and then after a while, I think it becomes the default choice in the moment, and you live a life of compassion. And shit, I mean, who doesn't want that?
Yeah, exactly. It's like our fall from grace is not listening. You know, to go back to the biblical metaphor of, you know, everyone's happy, like children living in God's grace on earth. It was all good. And then what happened? They didn't listen. Some egoic sense, some desire. You know, people want to paint the apple, say it was this and say it was that. But ultimately, it was desire, and we weren't listening. But God didn't leave. Just man turned away, and now we're turning back. And that's what this awakening is. It's people realizing that, wow, there's a living presence not only upon the earth but inside me. I am that presence. I am that living presence. I am that spark of divinity. Matter of fact, Les, you know, we were talking earlier in the show about this being an age of enlightenment, you know, people looking for heaven on earth, and that's what we're doing in our new movie project. I didn't get to tell you that about global enlightenment yet. If you don't mind, I'd love to engage the listeners to kind of help vision this with me. Because I had this inspiration, you know, if we're going to create a better world, what does that look like? We can see what's wrong with the world sometimes, but what's right with it? What can we do to create a better world? So we're embarking on a new motion picture that is basically going around the world to talk to leaders of the world to get their ideas of what we can do to create a better world. It will be a series of streaming interviews online, and the best of are being taken to create a movie. So we're looking to go down to see Desmond Tutu in June and interview him to get his ideas as kind of an elder statesman that was a big part of the apartheid movement in Africa and kind of a peace advocate in general. We've got a lot of Nobel Peace Prize winners that are on board. It looks like some presidents and lots of gurus, lots of ministers. We're going to be going to India. My goal is to get all the strongest Shaktipat masters. We're looking at doing a gig in Colorado, too. Maybe we can come out and see y'all, maybe over at the Mile High Church, maybe get Deepak and some of the new thought leaders all together for a forum, see what we can do to make a better world. We've got a lot of actors and actresses. We got Lindsay Wagner already signed up. The Dalai Lama's interested. We've got to end with the Pope. And we're just trying to think, you know what, if we get 100 of the world leaders, you know, praying for world peace, sharing a vision of how we can create it, we all start talking about it, thinking about it, we can create it.
You bet.
And so I would love your support, everyone listening to this show, to just help me vision pulling the best resources. And women. Women is a big part of this. I think we need to hear more of the women's voice. So we're going out. I would love to get Michelle Obama. I just heard her talking to young black women about the importance of education and believing in yourself, not letting other people tell you what you can and can't do, you know. And so it's that kind of positive thinking, that kind of constructive ideas and really leadership for the world to get us oriented so we can create the world we want to live in.
Well,
so all your... All, what's that?
It starts with that intent.
Exactly. Well, this is my intention. I'm sharing it with you. And so let's all share it together and create the world together. Doesn't that sound like fun?
Amen.
A movie about how we can make a better world? And all the profits go to charity. I'm not taking a profit on this. Everybody who participates can have nominate a charity, and then we take the profits from the movie and we'll distribute them to the charities.
Well, that sounds like love flowing.
Yeah. And it's gaming. The other thing, this is going to be the first motion picture that's also a game. So
nice.
One of the things we do, like, you know, I had everyone put up their hands, there's some energy being transferred. And we're going to have, during the movie, a series of times where the people will actually be led in different kinds of meditations, some by me, some by other teachers, or they'll be led in a prayer or some kind of a mindful exercise. And then there's an app we have that you can download onto your phone that measures the electromagnetic field of your aura. And so we've found, I've done this on my radio shows and TV shows and other live events, where you can actually look at the gauge and see the numbers go up from the beginning. And in this case, it would be like with us, it would have been the show before the meditation, during, and then maybe check in again just before the end. And in the movie, they're going to do the same thing. While they're sitting there, they can be actually watching their state of consciousness and the energy level of their body shifting, and be relating this to other friends all over the world. Isn't that exciting?
Oh, yeah.
Going through the shifts.
Do you aggregate that? Do you collect each person's shift and then integrate that data into a collective plot?
Well, that's kind of what we're hoping to do. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Right now, through Self-Awareness Institute, in my courses, I plot their, like when they go through the self-realization course, you can actually plot what calibration they're at in the beginning and watch them week by week from 12 weeks. And like it's really a good tool as a teacher, because all of a sudden you can check their energy and go, whoa, why did their energy go down? It shouldn't go down. It should be going up, right? And then I'll find out, this gal just lost her mother. Her mother died. No wonder her energy went down. So that tells you, okay, you got to go in there and help her with her grieving energy and, move through it easily. So it's a power. It's not, you don't just ignore it, but you transform with it. You use the energy and move back up. So this is the age we're at now. There's all these millions of people getting ready for enlightenment, and now the science, the technology, and now even the World Wide Web is providing a platform. Less over half of my students are in other countries now. It's amazing. There's people in 120 countries practicing Shaktipat, and probably 99% of my students have never seen their face. They've never, this is all being done like spirits transcending form. It's interesting, the age of Aquarius is represented by both Uranus and Saturn as the principal planets affecting the energy, and this means energy and information traveling through the air. And this is exactly what's happening now in this new paradigm of learning and sharing. We're going through satellite, we're going through internet, we're going through microwaves for cell phones. There's a kind of an invisible currents of energy that are directing and guiding mankind. And for the first time in history, people are really beginning to get this and tune into it. It's an exciting time to be alive.
We're going through the internet, the net within us.
Right, right. Not just the internet, but the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's that psychic connection.
Oh, sure. Just like when you did that exercise, that felt so good. In that hologram of consciousness, there's no separation.
Exactly.
And to give your mind permission to let go of what it's supposed to, quote, look like, and just be present for what it actually already is. The location doesn't matter. It's never mattered, really, but we've never had the cognitive, the mental trust in it to put our intention in it and expect it to show up. And that's part of the new age of understanding this oneness that we all come from.
Right. And are realizing. That's the exciting thing. It's like you can see the shift happening even within ourselves, certainly, and even with our friends, and now even through the media. That, like, I remember I started teaching yoga, and meditation back in the 70s, and it was kind of a quirky thing. We in Southern California or Boulder they do it, but now there's yoga in like every major city in the world. People are meditating by the millions. And the fact that we've got, I don't know if I told you, but we were just up at Joshua Tree doing an advanced teacher training, and Siddha yoga and Kriya yoga and Kundalini yoga. We had so much fun up there in Joshua Tree. And the film crew came out because we just finished filming an enlightenment show. I'm very happy to say at streamingforthesoul.tv, we've got a brand new series, like a streaming video series. So there's whole new content. There's a whole new idea. Instead of watching violence on TV and sex, you know, not just sex, but bad sex. If it was loving sex, that'd be one thing. But it's like, look at all the junk people are filling their heads with. So there's this need for spiritual content. So we've got some great programming coming at streamingforthesoul.tv, and the first one is 12 episodes of Enlightenment. So we went out to Joshua Tree, and I don't know if you've ever been out there, Les, up in the high desert. It's just, you know, whenever you got to nature, it's God's country anyway. I mean, it's all God's country, but when you get out to Joshua Tree, oh, it was just so beautiful. And it really brings us back to where we are here. You know, it's funny how sometimes getting away from it all is what's necessary to bring us back home again. We're all finding our way back home, aren't we?
So we can recognize it wherever we are.
Exactly.
I
like to think of it as walking with God, you know, to walk with God. Not God as
sure.
a dude, but as the presence, you know, a living presence, though, a loving presence.
Well, a dude and dudette.
Yeah, I prefer the dudette myself. But in any form it takes, it's everywhere. That's what's so beautiful. God is in everywhere and in everything all the time. And so you do see God in man. You do see God in woman. Where would you not see God? The more you look, the more you find. And that's, I think, what our purpose is here, to see it, to wake up and realize that the kingdom of heaven is spread out before us. Those that have eyes, let them see.
Well, I think a lot of times people will read the headlines and look at the storylines that are playing out in people's minds and in their egos, and they'll say, well, that can't be God. I mean, this is evil, this is, you know, terrible, and how they're treating each other is certainly an arena of suffering, but we're given fierce freedom in this holodeck, this canvas of expression. We're given fierce freedom to go as far as we choose into the darkness. And, you know, we talked before the show about the awakening and the awakening of human of heaven on earth in our own human persona to be able to embody that. And I think with the precession of the equinox shifting, we're coming out of such a long era of darkness in human consciousness. And from that darkness, it's like if you're in a big city at night and you go outside and look at stars, you can't see any stars. There's just a few stars. But if you go out away from any light pollution and go far enough away from the cities, you can see banding of the Milky Way with your eyes. And to be able to see that light is, I think the feeling of that virgin introduction to the light within us is so overwhelmingly wonderful because of where we've come from. There's going to be a day where it'll be the norm, and the vast majority of people will have that light, and we won't understand what darkness was.
Oh, amen. I'm looking. And that's already here when we realize it.
Oh, sure.
So what's beautiful in even our discussion of this, it's like triggering the latent memory of what we already innately know, isn't it? And it's like bringing it out to the forefront. It's like almost like these words are watering the seed that's been germinated in the listeners and further nourishing you and I too, because we're all helping each other. We're all part of kind of a collective mass awakening, aren't we? So this is like a supportive energy that's creating the momentum that is building within the collective consciousness, like a movement. So I just want to invite all the listeners to get proactive, to really engage your own energy and to engage the opportunity to share with other people, to spread the word, as it were, because the more open you are to being a vehicle for God to work through you, the more the divine will work through you. Or maybe another way to put it, the more conscious you are, the more a higher level of consciousness can express through us. And that's exactly needed to change the world. First, we've got to change
that
yourself.
Intention.
Yeah.
You set the intention to be that bigger vessel of love and compassion for humanity, things will happen. And your heart, the opportunity of your heart to open, and the opportunity for you to share your heart will become more and more evident from that intention. The intention's the seed of it.
Exactly.
Well, you know, an hour can go by pretty fast. Do you want to let our listeners know what you're working on and how they can get a hold of you?
Sure. Well, we've got a lot of exciting things. One is we've got a free call. You know, I do a global Shaktipat teleconference once a month, and the next one happens to be this Saturday. It's 9 a.m. Pacific. And you can go to selfawareness.com to get the phone number and PIN. Should I say it over the phone real quick? In case
you betcha. Yes.
It's 1-530-881-1400. And then the PIN is 762-617-pound. Or just go to selfawareness.com. And that way you can get our newsletter and see what else is happening. But I'm going to do a broadcast, so kind of like we did a quickie here on the call with Les, but I'm going to do a stronger one so people can get a more of a dousing maybe of energy if that's what they want. And then it's going to, the very next week, I'm going to be beginning my 12-week private training. It's kind of an advanced self-realization course. So, but those that are ready for that will know when they come on the call next week. You know, you're either ready or you're not. And then anybody can always just jump on board with us. We have ongoing classes every Sunday night. They're welcome to join us if you're interested in what we do. Otherwise, I've got books on Amazon and all kinds of free talks and meditations on iTunes, and I'd love to share with you. I think there's an enlightenment occurring within the collective consciousness of humanity. So in my studies of all these different religions, and I can't say there's one way, the only way, or even a better way, you know, the best. It's depending on what you need. But I found these techniques were like just amazing to get you plugged in and move you so quickly through stuff that might otherwise take years and years of difficult learning experiences. You can live and play in God's kingdom very quickly. It's really, like we were saying earlier, it's a matter of how open you are to receive. It's through grace. But, and so anybody that is curious about this, I just can't wait to share it with them. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with you.
When you put your consciousness on the next few chapters, the next 5 or 10 years of humanity, what kind of inspiration do you get about the vision of humanity unfolding?
Well, I see that there is an awakening occurring within the collective consciousness. Now, there's also a play of dark forces. You know, that's what we see on the news. But we got to see what that is, too. You know, we learn from both the light and the dark. All of life, from the most primordial sense, is attractive and repulsive forces. From yin and yang, positive, negative, you know, electrons and protons, we see attractive and repulsive forces. So all our life experiences are helping us to learn, grow, and evolve. We bring in the light and the dark to evolve our consciousness. And I see right now it's reaching critical mass. I guess that's the point. You know, like right now, I mean, literally right now, something's changing. Even in the listeners, right now, something's literally changing in everybody. We're literally enlightening. Even as we think about enlightening, as we reflect on the possibility of enlightenment and think about what it is, it's bringing it about. So thank you for this moment.
You betcha. Hey, you know, I want to appreciate and thank you for coming on the show again. It's always a pleasure to take the time and just share the experience of love and compassion and the evolvement of human consciousness. It's such a fun journey to be on, and I thank you for sharing that with us.
Well, I love you, and I love what you're doing. So keep up the good work. God bless you.
All right. Thanks for being on the show. You know, the kingdom of heaven, like we've been talking about, is the most authentic part of who we are. And it's not a creation. Enlightenment's not a creation within us. It's a discovery of what's in us. And from my own personal journey, my soul put me in front of television transmitters, really high power television transmitters, so I could wrap a understanding of the nature of what power is. To work with a million watts of power, yet really had to be careful about what you were doing, because it, when you add power to the equation, the possibilities expand. And your heart, your own heart, is the high power amplifier of your persona. It is the vehicle of love within your own being. Love has no boundaries and love has no limitation. And when you can be the vehicle of love, conducting it through your own persona, then you are literally the portal of divine love coming into the human experience by your ability to embody it. So I wrote Personal Power Fundamentals as a root experience, a fundamental experience of how the nature of power is experienced in the individual, within you and within me. And it's easy to look at society and recognize that some people are powerful and some people are running on fumes. They're barely getting by. They're barely getting through the hour or the minute. And that's when you look at society collectively, you can see the effect of personal power. But personal power is something that you can have influence on, because your power is the power of divine love, of God incarnate. You are the thing itself. So when you take the time to understand the nature of personal power as it relates to you, a personal energy persona of the one consciousness, you're changing your ability to show up in the collective consciousness as a point of presence, as a powerful point of presence. So I suggest to you that the more you understand the nature of your own personal power, the more conscious and intentional you can be about influencing it. So go to newhumanliving.com and sign up for the newsletter. Look at the radio shows. I mean, this show tonight has been really wonderful. Those radio shows in the archives are great to listen to for your commute. If you're going to get in the car and you're going to drive for a few hours, you can get on a plane, download a few of the episodes. Because I find powerful people who are embodying that unconditional love, and I bring them on the show just for you, so you can recognize that something we all have, every single one of us. The universe has no favorites. You can embody that unconditional love within your own being. Well, you've already taken the step to be a more powerful person today because you showed up on this for this episode. Life's a wonderful thing. It's expression and expansion in you, through you, as you. You know, it's my good pleasure to hold a space of consciousness for you and all of humanity. I thank you for joining us tonight. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.